kept pretty independent.
You know, she went to the side of the building.
Hebrews chapter 50. Hebrews 54, anyway. We've been here so long, my Bible automatically opens up right to that section.
Hebrews 54.
Yep.
Okay.
Psalm 54. I just seen if anybody's awake, paying attention. Everybody's going to say, well, is there really 54 chapters in the book of Hebrews? No, there's 13. Okay. This is a message that would have been the week before.
Yeah.
But snowflakes flew and nobody wanted to come out. Now, I actually went to... We waited pretty much till almost the last minute. I know the Faith, they canceled on Tuesday. It was during Wednesday. I said, well, I was going to wait and see what would happen. And then, of course, it started snowing right about supper time. And I figured, well, what they're talking about just may happen. So, not taking any chances with anybody. Although, don't take chances just because church is open. We will, if we can get here, live stream for the most part. And so on there. So, we'll do that. But also, pay attention. You can always check on our website. There's a Calvary Baptist website. Or you can actually friend the church. You can friend the church, you'll show up on your regular, if you have any of that kind. The only one I check in on, because that's where a lot of my family will post pictures and stuff on there. Some of my great-grandchildren way out on the West Coast. The only time I get to see them is when their pictures are showing up on Facebook and so on there. And a lot of it's just a lot of trash anyway, but you can look at the pictures of your family and then just get off it. But of course, I think there's so many other different platforms you can get on out that way, which to me, they're kind of worthless at this point anyway. You can't really say the things you want to say the way you want to say them, because then you get put in jail. You get put in Facebook jail. What's the other one there?
Instagram,
Twitter. I mean, I'd be in jail all the time. Although I have my granddaughter's husband. He gets put in jail quite a bit. He's always as well. He said, I just got out of whatever those platforms are. He said, I just finally got out of jail for this one, just got out of jail for that one there. And because he's pretty straightforward in what he's going to say and along the line there. But anyway, yeah, those Amarillo plants, they're pretty cool. They're the forerunner to the beanstalk that Jack climbed up. I tell you, it was, yeah, because we have one in our window there in the kitchen too. And I think you can just clip them off and keep them watered, and they'll grow another one. So, yeah. Anyway, as I said, Psalm 54. the title of the message tonight is "Rock and a Hard Place," Part 2, for you, Jack, back there. And so, the goal of every born again believer for our daily walk should be to be prayed up. Red up, and as they would say down south, fest up. In the north, when we're cool, we say confessed up. None of us, regardless of well thought out plans for any given day, it doesn't mean all will go as planned, does it? How many of you made plans that didn't turn out the way? I mean, sometimes you don't get out the door and the plans don't go very well for the most part. But especially if Satan can get his 2 cents worth and get us distracted from whatever plans we have had, especially in the area, well, I'm going to get up and have my devotions at this time, my prayer time at this time here, and I'm going to do this at this time along the way there for the Lord. And then, of course, Satan says, well, we'll see about that. And I learned after a while from Burton's father-in-law, Bernard McLaughlin. And I'd love to go and visit with them up there in Bolton Valley, up on the other side of Jericho, and it was always a fun visit there. And if you're, I know Jack would have loved it because they were into prophecy. They really loved prophecy a lot, but they also like good sound preaching. And so anyway, we go up and visit with them up there, but he'd come to church on a Sunday morning and bring his wife in, wheelchair and so on. So that ramp out there was a partly just so he'd get his wife into church and so on there. And I'd always say, well, I'm going to, okay, if I come up and visit with you, I'd use a more positive, I'm going to come up and visit you. He said, well, the Lord willing. So I said, the Lord willing. So you have to really learn that. Okay, the Lord willing, this will be my tomorrow, the Lord willing. God may have different ideas, and Satan may have different ideas, but whatever it is, you always go with God's ideas along the way. And so this is not to say that the Lord our God may have some May not have some plans of his own as well, because he does. And however, we have this promise that he will never leave us or forsake us, which means that regardless of how our day unfolds, we have a hotline to God. So you can subtitle this message, A Hotline to God. No matter where you are. And you know what? Sometimes we forget in the midst of our trials and tribulations that we do have a hotline. We spend more time moaning and groaning in the middle of our trials and our tribulations than rather than talking to the Lord about it. Now, that doesn't mean we need to complain to the Lord about it, but say, Lord, you know, something simple like this, Lord, I'm not sure why this is happening, but you know all about it. Lord, as you inform me in each step of the way there, Lord, I'm looking for your guidance. I'm looking for your direction. I want to make good decisions and good choices along the way there rather than moaning and groaning. And I believe we'll get through our trials and tribulations a lot easier, and we'll certainly come out the other side with a lot more information and a closer walk and a closer understanding of the Lord. Now, our first confidence when we feel we're trapped was, as we had looked at last week, was though David was trapped, David, as you and I, should know that we are where we're supposed to be. I don't believe that things just fall out happenstance. There's no such thing as good luck or bad luck. There are good things that happen, and there are some maybe some uncomfortable things, maybe even some bad things that happen. And sometimes it's because we made poor choices, poor decisions, or we're naive about something, and that led us to make poor decisions along the way. But there are times when God visits us with things that we may not enjoy. But if we are tuned into the Lord when we're going through these things, very close with Him, we'll find out that He is the source of our joy, even though our circumstances may not be. He is our source of joy because He is with us. He said, I never leave you nor forsake you. Now remember, this Psalm 54 finds this message evolving from 1 Samuel chapter 23 and in the town of Keilah. Now Keilah was a town that was being raided by the Philistines. They were taking all their crops, taking all their animals, just making life miserable for the Hebrews that were in the city of Keilah. And David heard about it, and David talked to his men. Of course, he talked to the Lord too as well, and that's always a good thing to do. You can confide in people all you want to, but ultimately it's the Lord that we need to talk with the most. Amen. And so he wanted to do something. He wanted to go down and protect the people and chase off the Philistines. And hey, they're his brothers, they're his sisters, they're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Why not? That's the right thing to do. And so he was going to do the right thing. And of course, we know that's exactly what David did. And God gave him permission. Yes, go down and you get down here and say, I'll deliver the Philistines into your hand. And of course, with chapter, we said 1 Samuel chapter 23. It's a wonderful chapter in that area. And so David has rescued these people from the Philistines and has concern at this particular point because they heard a little rumor that someone has run off and told King Saul, guess who came to visit our city? Your friend David. And we're going to hold him here. They didn't say that, but that's what they were probably going to do. They're going to try to keep him there as long as they could so that King Saul and his men could come down and catch up with David. So sometimes we think it's hard to do what is right and have the same people turn on us. But when we choose to do what is right, we do so for two reasons. Number one, we do it for the Lord's sake. Amen? First and foremost, we do it for Him because we can magnify and glorify Him, or we can tarnish. Choices are ours. But secondly, we do it because it is always right to do the thing that is always right. So always do the thing that's right. And being prayed up, read up, fessed up, will give us an even greater awareness of the Lord's presence and a peace in difficult times. We assume that our peace is going to be when whatever we're dealing with that we may find uncomfortable. When it's over is when we're going to find our peace. But if you've been listening to Brother Steve on Sunday afternoons, the storm and the calm. But there is also a storm that comes to us when it seems like everything is okay, but now all of a sudden you find yourself, you're in the storm. What do you do? Well, that's where David is. He did the thing that was right. And you and I, even though we may have our devotions and our prayer time, and we turn around and God brings something into our lives because there's a reason, someone he wants to reach, there's something he wants us to learn, something he needs to teach us along the way. And so when we have that peace that passes understanding, because we know that this is of God, God is the answer, God is the solution, we just have to walk with the Lord. Amen? So Psalm 54 and verse 2. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth. Isn't it wonderful that we know that he hears? He always hears us. Doesn't mean he's always going to answer us instantaneously. And our prayers don't wander around in outer galactic space out there somewhere, bouncing off the planets or the universes and so on there, until finally it gets to the throne of God. He hears us instantaneously. But he's not always going to answer us instantaneously. And so tonight, though David was trapped, he still had a hotline to God. He still had a hotline. So, interestingly enough, we will find David doing the right thing on three inquiries. Sought out God's will. That's what he did. He sought out God's will on three inquiries, and each time the Lord said yes, yes, yes. Now, wouldn't you think that if this was of God, then it would have kind of ended a little bit differently than what it did? Well, David did chase off the Philistines. He freed the people of Keilah. Keilah, I get it backwards. Keilah. And his next thing is, hey, listen, I heard a rumor. They're going to turn on me. Yeah. Well, wait a minute now, Lord. You told me to get in this position here. Now you got me between a rock and a hard place. So he asked them, will they turn me over? And they said, yes. So in 1 Samuel 23 and verse 2, if we can just turn over there for just a moment or two. Oops, come on. 1 Samuel 23. I'm getting there. Just can't grab my pages here tonight. In chapter 23, looking in verse 2. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. So God gives David the green light. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 3 and 4, God gives David a firm affirmation. And David's men said unto him, behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? Then David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thy hand. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And in verses 9 through 10, it goes from what could have been bad to worse, if you look at it that way. So as he says there in verse 9, and David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar, the priest, bring hither the ephod. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the man of Keilah deliver me into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. And of course, he will turn them over. So we do not usually expect our prayers to go from a yes from God to a worsening situation, do we? But our trials and tribulations oftentimes get worse before they get better. And it's depending how much we're paying attention to what's going on in it, where God is, where we are in our relationship with God and God with us during that particular time. But sometimes lessons are a little bit easier to learn. Other times they're a little bit harder to learn. Oftentimes we look at our young people, and our young people are not always making good decisions. They're always making good choices. And as a parent, that grieves us, doesn't it? I mean, I know with grandparents, it grieves us as grandparents as well. And we just have to sometimes back off from our young people's lives and say, okay, Lord, they're in your hand. We're going to trust you to let you work in their lives to do what you need to do. And sometimes our young people have to get into some pretty deep crevices in life before they'll ever pay attention or wake up. I know in my own personal life, that was the way it worked for me. So I've learned from experience that there are times when you turn your back on God, you walk away from God, and things can get go from just bad to even worse. And it's usually by the time it gets worse is the time you finally wake up and realize, okay, I have really made some big mistakes and I need to get turned around. And so we need to pray for our young people that that God will guide them and direct to them and begin to speak to them so that they will wake up sooner than later, but that eventually they will wake up. And who knows where they'll be someday in our churches. But we have to stay the course. We have to let God do what God needs to do. And we can't always bail them out all the time. And so we know that God loves them. We know that God loves us, amen. But when it comes to these trials, as you think of them as a trench, so to speak, a mode of operation or a walk that they're dealing with there, and you know they're making bad decisions, that doesn't mean that you as a parent can't address them and say, you know what, you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword, or you know, if you're going to live by the world standards, how can you expect God to meet and to bless? No, you want me to pray? Well, did you pray? Have you been praying? What have you been praying for? What have you been praying about? So, I mean, it's not wrong for a parent or grandparent to step in and ask questions along that line. But nonetheless, you can't try to bail them out before they have learned what God wants them to learn in that particular process. And it's going to be the same thing for you and me. If we get crosswise with God, we find ourselves into a situation, and we're looking for someone to bail us out, then sometimes we just say, okay, Lord, this is my doing. As the old expression goes, this is my bed, and I'm lying in it. It's not very comfortable, Lord. I'm trusting that you're going to guide me and direct me so that I can make the right choices, the right decisions to at least get out of this mess or to go through this mess and learn what it is that I need to learn. And I think the sooner we surrender in that kind of an attitude, the quicker we learn, the quicker we're going to get out of some of those circumstances, for sure. But so here we have David wanting to do what is right, a good thing to be sure. And there's three different times that we see that David is responding and seeking God's will. And so here we find all three times we see God's answers. And it led David to do something that causes more problems rather than an immediate resolution. And so here we find a wonderful comfort and a confidence that in spite of how things are currently working out for David, in his present circumstances, David continues to exercise his walk and his confidence in God. Think about it for a moment here. When we find ourselves between a rock and a hard place, we may find ourselves in a series of disappointments. Why do we bail out on our Bible reading? Why do we bail out on our prayer time? Why do we bail out on not going to church? I mean, we drop all the things that would help us rather than harm us. And we ignore those things and wonder why God hasn't answered or why God's allowing this all to take place in our lives. Well, sometimes it's an awakening. Am I where I should be on a day-to-day basis? Because if I was, when I find disappointment in my life, I'm going to realize, okay, God, you knew about this. You knew it was coming. But Lord, I've been preparing. I've had my daily devotions, I've had my prayer time, and Lord, I've been asking for your guidance, and Lord, if you're leading, and this is where you're leading, then Lord, you have a reason, you have a purpose, and I want to make sure that my mind is clear, I am receiving and accepting what it is that you'd have me to do. And that's what David continues to exercise his walk in confidence in God, and our circumstances should never determine our confidences or our trust in God. Is that the impetus behind the question, well, God, why me? Or, you know, God, this is not a good time. Is that not expressing a lack of confidence or a lack of trust in God? That God knows what is best, and certainly it is. I mean, he says there in Psalm 54, in verse 2. Get to just a minute. And he simply says, hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. So he was in contact with God. God was his confidence. His trust was in God that I am now between a rock and a hard place. Lord, I need your direction. I need to know what to do next. And so when he says that we learn from this that our confidence and our trust in God, nor should our circumstances alter the nature of our walk with the Lord our God. It shouldn't cause us to leave off our Bible reading and meditation. It shouldn't cause us to leave off our prayer time. It shouldn't leave off our attendance to church. No, not by any stretch of the imagination. It should increase these things. Because those are times when we need a greater understanding. We need God to be more real than he has been at any other time in our lives. And the only way he's going to do that is if we are drawing close to him. Isn't that what James says? That we need to draw close to the Lord. Draw nigh to him. And that is something very important for us to do. So I am convinced that if we maintain a close and an intimate walk with the Lord on a daily basis throughout the day, then we will have a confidence in God that wins the day, regardless of how the day started out or how the day progressed or how it ended. Amen? It should never deter our walk with God. It should never deter our confidence in God or our trust in God. And as we continue to see, this is the time I need to kind of buckle down. I need to get serious at this moment in time. And I need to have this extra time with the Lord. And then we will have a confidence in God that does win the day, and we will be delivered in God's time, in God's way, and not ours. But we will have accomplished things in that time frame that we could not have otherwise accomplished. We will have witnessed in ways that we could not have witnessed. You know, people are watching. When they find out you're a Christian, they're watching out of the corner of their eye. They want to see how genuine you are, how true it is. And when you and I are going through difficulties, just like the world goes through them, we don't have a meltdown. We don't fall apart. And the only reason we have it together is because God holds us together. The Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God and the Father holds us together. It keeps us melded with him. Amen? And so that is the second one. Though David was trapped, he still had a hotline to God. Don't forget, you always have a hotline. Your circumstances will not shut God off. He is always there. Always there. Amen? Well, I said it was going to be short, and I am.